sponsors. Enjoy.
Here comes the sun. Here comes the sun. And I say, it's all right.
Welcome to IPUS on Air with Noemi. Join us every Friday night at 7 p.m. only on Double Radio 92.7 FM. The call-in is always open at 844-967-2789. Again, that's 844-967-2789, or you can find it on the Double Radio app. Welcome back to another show. I'm really excited to be here with Grace today.
Hi! I'm excited to be here too, again.
Thank you so much. Yeah, I did kind of want to start off and talk about, I mean, there's so much to talk about.
As there has been, like, the last 3 years.
There is, yeah. And I think we have a lot to talk about, too, just in general. But I did want to talk about kind of with our show, I think last week or maybe the week before, I kind of said that this would be our finale show. This show is not our finale show. We are going to continue with the shows for another 13 weeks. So I don't know if that's good news or bad news. I don't really know.
It's good news.
It is. That's good. But yeah, so we're kind of in like this transitional period too. I think we're going to do what I consider a finale, even though it's not the end. It's kind of like the beginning, of the summer and just our shows in general. And Grace, you're also graduating. So
yep,
that's pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah. No, class of 2022, didn't think we'd make it, but here we are.
I know. Yeah. It's been a long,
long ride. Weird.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, the fact that we've only been in school technically for, like, how many years of high school have we had? Like, 2.5?
Not even 2, right? No, we have had 2. We've had 2 in, like, have we had 3?
I don't know. Well, regardless, not 4.
Yeah.
So, it's still weird because I feel like when COVID hit, I was a sophomore. I was 16. I just turned 16 and now I'm, like,
I know, I was barely 16.
Whole adult.
And now, yeah. And it's still not over.
No, it's not. And it's getting worse.
And we're seeing that in our school right now with the COVID numbers. And I think we talked about that last week with Dr. Buran, our principal, who was here last week. Mm-hmm. We talked about how we're not ready for events, really, to come back. Looking at what happened with prom.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, we were also going to be talking about, I do want to talk about the event that happened last Saturday. I don't know if I really kind of promote it in the best way that I could have last week, but the Lake Winger Watershed event happened last week. And thanks to Taylor and to Jake and to everybody who was part of the Dutch and Monroe Neighborhood Association, as well as the Friends of Lake Winger and Friends of Arboretum who put on the event. It was a wonderful event. I think there were over 30 organizations there in support of the lake and kind of gathering around this kind of cause to clean up the lake and protect the lake as well. And we'll see a lot more of those events during the summer, which I'm really excited about.
Yeah, that's awesome. I mean, our lakes, especially with it getting like greener out, you see all these signs for fertilizer and it's like, do you have any idea what you're doing to the lakes that we have our kids swim in? Like,
right.
Do you have any idea? And kids and animals and people don't understand that it runs off into the lake. And being in Madison, we have so many bodies of water around us. So, you know, thank you to all the people who went and cleaned up the lake.
And just to everybody who works on that as well, like not only like here and cleaning up the lake, but also like with the legislation that has to be passed to regulate.
Absolutely.
What we're putting in our lake and what we're doing to our water in general. But we also wanted to talk about, and Grace, could you kind of reintroduce yourself for people who weren't
there? Oh, yeah. My name is Grace. I'm a senior at West High School. I'm graduating this year. I was here, when was I last here? Like the last week of April or something like that. And
like
I kind of talked about like what my club is. I'm a founder of a club that's called AOC. It's dedicated to providing consent education safety. Acronym stands for Allies of Consent. We just kind of figured out who is going to be running it next year, which we're super, super excited about. And we have a whole list of like 20 new members that are joining next year.
Nice.
Yeah. So that's pretty much what I do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. How have you kind of, I don't know, for our organization is kind of in the same position, similar position. How have you kind of like delegated powers down?
It's mainly, we have really lost numbers like going through the year. I mean, you know, people just want to have a lunch where they want to relax. So sometimes it's kind of hard, especially a lot of our group is seniors because, you know, that's the people that I know. That's people who follow me on social media.
Yeah.
So what we did to get all new members is there's this thing called Movin' West, but it's for incoming freshmen. So we, it's like a club fair. So I was there with our president next year. Shout out to them. They did an amazing job and we recruited a bunch of freshmen, which is great.
That's great. Yeah. We should have done that.
Yeah. It was really fun. Really cool.
That's great. Yeah. I know that. So you were here on April 29th, I believe. So that was before we had kind of known about the like the decision that could potentially overturn Roe.
Yep.
And I think it was that next week that the protest had happened.
Yes.
Could you kind of talk about that and organizing that?
Yeah. So I remember hearing like Roe v. Wade is going to be overturned. My mom, I remember learning what abortion was and hearing about it. It's like, isn't that killing babies? And then my mom told me, she was like, I actually marched for the right to choose in Washington when I was your age. Mm-hmm. And I was like, you're kidding. How many years later and we're still doing this? But she explained to me, you know, why she marched for it. And I finally like understood what it was. And ever since then, I've been incredibly passionate about it. I'm just upset by the fact that I am protesting for the same things that my mother protested for.
Mm-hmm.
Like, why are we constantly in fear that our rights to our own bodies are going to be taken away?
Mm-hmm.
I also know a lot of people who have personally like benefited from the Roe v. Wade trial, mm-hmm. you know, rape survivors who have, had abortions and made that choice to save their own life.
Yeah.
And I'm very, very passionate about the issue. So I couldn't handle it. I couldn't handle not doing anything. So I got in contact with people from other schools
mm-hmm.
and we marched West High School. Since we're close, we marched down to the Capitol in like 95 degree heat, which was awful, but worth it. And then we spoke inside of the Capitol and then eventually moved outside of the Capitol. We had a lot of like survivor testimonies from people who are survivors of sexual assault. We had people there from all genders, all races. It was so beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What was sort of the call to action or, I mean, obviously the decision of, you know, overturning Roe is definitely a call to action. But what were you kind of hoping the outcome of that would be?
I was really hoping, I think we need to start spreading awareness. My goal was to kind of host a fundraiser for Planned Parenthood or other organizations in the area.
Mm-hmm.
But we kind of ran out of time for that. So that's kind of what I'm working on for next year. And I've talked to Senator Kelda Royes, mm-hmm. and she's given me some organizations that she would recommend donating to. And I know East had a specific call to action, but I can't remember what it was. But we all still want the rights to our body. And that's mm-hmm. kind of what our big call to action was.
Mm-hmm. I know you kind of talked about your mom protesting and then this protest. How do you think the arguments for choice are the same and how do they differ?
I think the arguments now, I mean, it was like women's rights or human rights. But now we know that it's not only women who have abortions. It's people all genders who have a uterus.
Mm-hmm.
So we now know that it's a fight that's not just impacting women. It affects men and people who are non-binary and mm-hmm. on any gender spectrum. It impacts everyone.
Yeah.
Because two people create a child.
Right. Do you think that this is going to kind of create like a fifth wave of feminism in a way?
Good Lord. I hope so. I would love to be a catalyst for that. I think we need this other wave of feminism that's coming. I think it kind of started in the 2016 election. When Trump was elected, it kind of ignited this whole fury of like feminine rage. Again, I say feminine, not meaning only women, but it definitely ignited this rage in the women, you know, that he talking about grabbed their bodies. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it just totally started this whole new wave of feminism, which I'm really happy to be a part of.
Mm-hmm. I know that we're also feeling the effects right now, I guess, of the shooting in New York and the shooting in Texas.
Absolutely.
I know that also in Madison, you know, we had just had that the bombing of what I think they would consider kind of like an anti-abortion clinic in a way.
Yeah.
Do you think that this is going to evoke violence?
I think any movement now, I think, will evoke violence. And I think it's sad that it has to be that way.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, you know, hate is so, so strong. And I think violence comes from hate. So when we have hate, there's going to be violence.
Mm-hmm. What would you say is kind of the, like, do you think there is a call for violence in a way?
It's kind of the same as I thought during the Black Lives Matter protest. I mean, obviously, yeah. I can't really speak from a very mm-hmm. personal point of experience because I am a cis white woman. However, I don't blame people, because if your child was killed by police, you'd want to scream and break and hit things, right? Mm-hmm. So you can't really blame people for that. Mm-hmm. And I don't think violence is something that we should shoot for, but I understand why people are doing what they're doing. I understand why people feel so threatened.
Mm-hmm. What would you say are some of the major differences between the movement that maybe your mom was a part of versus this movement now with like the political climate?
The political climate, I feel like people are gearing more towards, I feel like back when my mom protested in like the 80s, mm-hmm. it was more of people were very split, like Democrat and Republican. And now I feel like a lot of young people are really straying away from political parties. Mm. So I think we're demanding mm. rights. And like, as I said before, it's now a fight of all genders. It's not just women.
Yeah.
Like
yeah,
my mom said they got on a bus and they went down to Washington and they all watched Thelma and Louise. And she goes, "You have never seen Thelma and Louise unless you've watched it in a bus with a bunch of angry feminists." And I was like, yep, it's exactly what it is.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I know that we're also kind of feeling the effects of women not being able to have the right to choose, especially with what was just voted on with the baby formula.
Exactly.
And Biden enacting like the Defense Act for mm-hmm. that, and seeing how, like, how do you think that also kind of relates?
Well, I think it's interesting that the same people who are voting that are forcing us to have children are not letting us feed them. Mm-hmm. I think that's really interesting. It's like, okay, so you're not going to pay for the food that you're forcing for the kids that you're forcing us to have.
Yeah.
I think that's super, super interesting. And we could really see there what's wrong with the presidency mm-hmm. and what's wrong with this whole thing.
Yeah. And there's so many connections today in the news as well. And we're yep. going to continue with this conversation after this break. Yep. Thank you so much. Since it's been clear. Always open at 844-967-2789, and I'm joined by Grace today. What music are we coming in on? I can't hear you at all.
It's the sirens. No, I'm kidding. Yep, I'm turned up now. It's all me. I'm taking over. I'm taking over today.
Nice. Well, that's great.
Well, I'm glad.
So we were kind of talking about how, like, I don't know, just things in the news today, and like the way that
current events.
Yeah, current
like
events.
Like that's what today is.
Yeah. But also like how they connect too, because they connect on so many different levels.
I think they all do.
They're not estranged from each other. No. Like we're talking about the kind of baby formula, but also like the right to choose and the ways that everything is mm-hmm. regulated as well, or as everything is not regulated. When we look at the events from this week, I did kind of want to talk about how our schools are reacting to this in a way mm-hmm. and how, I guess, like how you as a student too are kind of seeing this on a local level, but also like in the schools.
In the schools, I feel like the school is all supportive about your First Amendment right, but they make it very, very clear that what you're doing is not school sponsored.
Yeah.
That's the thing that I've really, it's been a challenge, because everything is fine until you actually want to do something and make a call to action. And then all of a sudden everyone freaks out. Mm-hmm. Everyone freaks out about liability. And, you know, I don't know what it's like to run a school, but I do know what it's like to be a student. And as a student, you know, you receive all this support and you're told all these things are going to happen. And then all of a sudden everyone backs out and mm-hmm. says no. And then you're not told. Then you feel disrespected. And then it goes back to the whole, my body, my rights are being taken away and I'm feeling disrespected. And it goes back to everything. So I feel like there is definitely some support in school, but not a ton.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like you can really see that in communities, especially with like the school you're winding down. Everyone's kind of exhausted and they're like, dude, shut up about all your rallies. And I'm like, no, but we can't choose right. the right to our body anymore. Like, why are you telling me to shut up? But mm-hmm.
do you, and this is a like on so many levels, but do you feel safe in our schools?
As I think it's hard for me to say, I don't really know. I mean, with the school shootings, I feel like we do experience a lot of violence, even if it's not to the scale of school shootings. Like our bathrooms are closed every week due to vandalism. And even though that's not, you know, technically a hurtful violence, it still is a form of violence.
Mm-hmm.
And it still is, I feel like, a form of almost protest. I feel like that's a bad word to use. But like, I don't really feel super safe at our schools, you know, walking around in the hallways and stuff like that. I mean, just mm-hmm. as a woman in the society, I don't leave my house without a taser. Like I carry mm-hmm. a taser on my keys. So I don't really know how safe I feel. Every sound now that I hear in the school building, I'm like, oh God, it's a school shooter. There it goes.
With the bells.
Last week we had a bunch of different weird noises coming from the bells. And I was like, that's it. We're done. I always know like where I would hide in a room now. I always know like what doors are open and closed, like how could I break the window, and I shouldn't have to be sitting in class thinking about that.
Mm-hmm.
And this year actually we had someone bang on the glass on one of our classroom doors and shatter it.
Okay. Yeah.
And that was horrifying because again I thought that was a school shooter. I was like, there it is, there we go, we're done.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just this reality you have to face going to school every day.
Mm-hmm. What schools were you in the Madison schools growing up?
Yep. I was in Van Nuys Elementary, and then I okay. went to Hamilton, and yeah. then West.
Nice. Okay. I know, like, with my experience, too, I feel like it's been this kind of, like, desensitized kind of,
yeah.
like, our whole time in school. Mm-hmm. Almost to the point where it's, like, it's, I don't know, it's, like, I don't want to say that we don't like recognize.
But we just scroll through it.
But it's like, we just, yeah.
It's like COVID cases. Like when that first started, it was like, oh my God, there's 100 COVID cases. And now we're like trying to get down mm-hmm. to that number that it was when it started. And it's like, you know, as we've grown up, our generation, we were born either during or right after 9/11. Mm-hmm. We've got the internet brought up with us. We've got a major presidency. We've got a, you know, attack on the White House. We've got COVID-19. We've got all these social media apps rising up, as well as the internet. So I feel like our generation mm-hmm. is just very, very desensitized from all of it because we're exposed to so much on a daily basis.
Mm-hmm. How do you see that impacting like young? I know you work with younger kids. How do you see that like impacting them?
I don't really know because I'm not really allowed to discuss that kind of thing with my kids. Mm-hmm. I'm told, you know, we keep it light and we keep it airy. And, you know, I had one of my kids the other day ask me, she saw me leading the protest. And I had to end up explaining to my kids like what the protest was for. And I either think kids are either overexposed or they're underexposed.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of the kids that I work with are unfortunately like underexposed to what's going on. And their parents don't have these like very real conversations with them because they don't want to upset them.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we're getting to a better place with that. But I feel like a lot of the kids I work with, you know, they're not quite as exposed to that as much because their parents want to protect them as much as possible from like the mm-hmm. world that's becoming increasingly more horrifying, which I totally understand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I see that with younger kids that I work with, but also students at like our high school too with Regent Pride and like
absolutely.
When they were doing the kind of like where you move to one side of the room or you move to the other side of the room and the spectrum in between for questions like, do you talk about this at home? Like, how do you feel like you react to this? Like, do you know what to do if somebody like says like a racial slur mm-hmm.
Or a microaggression or something like that?
Yeah.
Which is funny because in my room, the room I was in, there was zero spectrum. Interesting. All of us were on the same side for every topic. And I think that, sadly, people are afraid to admit if their family doesn't have these conversations at home. I feel like also growing up in Madison, at least for me, I've kind of grown up in this blue bubble where we always kind of talk about these things where it's like, you know, equality of all races, equality of all genders, stuff like that, you know, LGBTQ plus equality. Like, I just grew up where that was all normal. But I think if we look in like different areas or different schools or especially different cities in Wisconsin, I feel like it would be extremely different. I mean, like they would even do like a region pride or racism critical theory lesson in any other school.
Well, it's like we forget that this is happening in our country, but also that it's also happening not that far away.
No.
We look at like what happened at La Follette. And I think there's a lot more to look at, too, in general.
Yep. We're a microcosm of society, and we need to start seeing it like that.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much.
Yep.
Stay informed with Progressive News and Talk on Devil Radio 92.7 FM and WTTN 1580 AM, Wanakee's choice for essential radio.
Ashley, Wisconsin.
Hey, I'm Noemi. This is IPOS on Air, and the call line is 844-967-2789. We're coming back in with our musical guest. Do you want to introduce yourself?
Yeah, my name is Evan. I'm a producer here at WTTN, and I've been working with you for a little while now.
Yes. It's been a year, hasn't it?
Something like that. Yeah. I've been here just over a year. I really hadn't been here that long when we first sort of got together to work on In Pursuit of Sunshine, as it were. And, yeah, I gotta say, I'm really excited that you're rolling it over, right? Mm-hmm. That you're doing it for another 13 weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's a bright spot in my week. I love doing this show.
Thank you. Not many
hosts put in the... Because I came so close to saying this, I actually need to address it. They put in the effort, you know. It's current events. You sort of get what you... You get what you get, and then the personality fills out the rest. But this show offers something a little bit different, you know? And I really enjoy working on it.
Thank you. Well, not a lot of producers put in this amount of work, although I've only had one producer.
And I haven't met many, so let's just say it so.
Yes. All right. What music do you have for us today?
So we've heard a rendition of this one before, but I've been working on it. I feel like do it a little bit more justice, right, than the last time.
Yeah.
So we'll just get right into it. This one is called The District Sleeps Alone Tonight.
Oh, wonderful.
Thank you.
You, I love that I get to do this. Just sort of to hijack it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. I love it. I love it.
Mm-hmm. I did want to ask about, like, the apprenticeships and stuff.
Yeah.
How it's going.
It's going great. I don't know how it goes. If you chose well or we got lucky or I don't know exactly how that works. Mm-hmm. But all three of them have been really engaged and willing to... Because, you know, I'm not telling them what to do so much as it's hard to even explain, you know, but they get to come here, see how a small station operates.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they get to work in back and I give them basically to make promotional material, right? To sort of get a hand for it.
Mm-hmm.
The promos that have been airing, you know, this last few weeks were made by them.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really, really cool to see. You know, this is the definition of elective. No one's making them come here, you know? So
mm-hmm.
it's been really, really cool to work with them and to see how interested, I mean, for lack of a better word, that they engage with it. It's really, really cool.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to be gifted in the field someday, you know? They have a knack for this stuff. They really do.
Yeah, no, and I can see that too. But yeah. It should be good to see, like, what another 13 weeks will do to see how that works, what we can do.
Yeah.
And I guess if anybody's interested in kind of being a guest or know of someone who might be a good guest or what we can do to do other things, because there's a lot more creativity as well. So I think you can contact us, too, at inpursuitofsunshine@gmail.com. And I think we'll be coming back talking about education, too, in a slightly different way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you. IPLS on air. This is Noemi and you're Grace.
Yes, I am.
I realized that I didn't like prompt that correctly the way Cecily and I used to do that. This sounds like it seems like such a long time ago. This music is very familiar.
Yeah, this is sort of the unofficial theme song.
It is.
For the first promos that you guys put out.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
It super feels very calming to it.
I agree. I listen to this one all the time.
Yeah. It's very nice. but we're back and we're going to be talking about education. I guess we can kind of start off with saying some of the like classes and teachers and like experiences that we've had at West.
Yeah, I mean, as a senior who's gone there, you know, for 4 years, plus I've always been like that kid who's taken like 0 hours so I can like take an extra biology class or an extra social studies class or something. So I've taken a lot of classes at West. Are you like the same way? Have you stayed, you know, like have you done like full days all year, if that makes sense?
Pretty much. I had a study hall my freshman year, and then now I just don't have 6th hour. But gotcha. Like I didn't really do the whole like summer school 0 hour thing.
Yeah, this is my first year with a study hall, and may I just say it's awesome. I don't have to do any work at home.
That's nice. Yeah, I know, it's like almost hard to get work done though too at the same time.
Yeah, I
it's
mean
like so quiet and such an awkward environment.
Yeah, I feel like, but it's a weird amount of time. I just don't like getting work done at home because like I feel like my home time is like, okay, it's time to decompress now. Mm-hmm. And then if I get home and do homework, it's like, it's just never going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. But yeah, I don't know. I feel like we both kind of stay close to social studies too.
Yeah. Social studies and science are kind of my big loves because I want to go into education and I also want to go into counseling. So, and like child and adolescent counseling.
Yeah.
So they really like flow together. And I'm very, very passionate about like activism and stuff like that. People have asked me like, do you want to go into, you know, being an advocate and activism and stuff like that? And I'm like, I think it's more of a hobby for me. I don't think I could do it full time because, oh my goodness, it's exhausting. It's so tiring, but it's still something I'm super passionate about.
Yeah. I think that kind of also, I don't know, it kind of brings up the point too of like, for me, I'm really interested in like nonprofit management and education. And I feel like education is a form of activism.
Oh, absolutely. Because you're advocating for, you know, I mean, what we think is fact, other people don't think is fact. So spreading, you know, knowledge about the fact that science is scientific fact, you know,
yeah,
is seen kind of as a form of activism now. And it's in reality, it's literally just saying scientific fact. But I think it is a form of activism. It's educating our future voters. I think how you do that really shapes the course of our youth.
Right, yeah. And I worry about that too with our class, with the idea that, you know, we talk about climate change and we kind of have to go over like what climate change is and how it's like an ideology. But it's not an ideology. It's a fact that it's happening.
Teachers
and we kind of have to get past that to get to the part where we actually find the solution.
Yep. Teachers are like, I don't want to get too political, but here's, this is science. And I'm like, when did science become political? Like, when did this happen? Did I miss the memo of science not being a thing?
And now it's like, it's kind of like tiptoeing around the fact. And it's like, for our class too, we have to spend a lot of time talking about climate change and like why it might or might not be real. And that's a difficult thing to talk about when you're trying to figure out like solutions. And when you have a semester, it's really difficult to kind of go around that. And
I mean, you have to think, you have to be open to other people's point of view. But when other people's point of view is being incredibly racist and ignoring science, it's a little bit hard to do that. Because I feel like I talk to people and I'm like, when I talk to some people, it's like, yeah, the sky is blue. And they're like, no, it's not. And it's Biden's fault. And it's like, what? Where did that come from?
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean?
The other thing is like understanding kind of like what, like things like what is inflation? And inflation is, because it's like, you can't tell somebody like, the economy is like too good.
No,
you can't say that.
No, I totally get, I mean, it's understanding, you know, basic concepts. I feel like a lot of kids do want to have these conversations, but I feel like teachers are really scared to have them because they're afraid of losing their jobs. But I think a lot of kids do want to have this conversation. You know, when I was younger and when I was in like, you know, elementary school and middle school, like we didn't talk politics at all. Like it was just something that no one said a word about because, you know, other people might have different beliefs and we don't want to enforce our beliefs on other people. And then I like got to the end of middle school and high school and everyone's talking about it. And it's like, wow, we can talk about this here. And that's really when I started learning about other people's point of view. Like, you know, some people have like never seen snow. I had like never met like a diehard Trump supporter or Republican up until I was like 14.
Yeah.
So I just thought, you know, everyone just believed what we did. Everyone was just in this blue liberal democratic bubble when no, we are not.
Yeah. I don't know. This is like kind of surprising to me, and it's still like surprise. I don't know. It will always be surprising to me, but I feel like I didn't understand that climate change affected people until I was 14.
Oh yeah, no, I didn't really understand. You know, I knew it was a thing, and I knew it's what people of the party I identified with spoke about, but I couldn't really explain anything on it. Mm-hmm. And I think that's super dangerous, especially being like, you know, on the other side, like you strictly believe party lines and you don't do any thinking for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that's what a lot of us do nowadays when mm-hmm. it's the importance of like, you need to educate yourself and you need to be educated by different groups of people.
Mm-hmm. And I feel like we pass down that kind of like political ideology. We don't pass yeah. down the curiosity to figure out like what that, what your political belief really is.
No, it's never, okay, this is what I believe.
Mm-hmm.
You go do research on your own. You figure this out. It's really hard to stray away from your family's views and topics and things.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. And I can't imagine, you know, being in a family that was so hateful of other groups of people. Like I never understood it. As even as a kid, I don't understand it now.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand how you can literally preach hate.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I did that, not preaching hate, but like take on the political kind of ideologies that my parents did.
Oh yeah. No, I do too.
So I think there's that too. What would you say is kind of like the role, would you say like is the role of schools in kind of like politics and bringing this up?
I think it's their job to educate us about how to find a credible source and how to critical think. I think we neglect critical thinking because we see all these headlines, and every news source now is biased regardless of what political party you are.
Mm-hmm.
There are, you know, there's CNN versus Fox News, and everything is skewed. So you have to learn how to do your own thinking, and I think schools need to teach that. Like, if you're too afraid to talk about politics, you need to teach about what's a credible source, how to critical think. Is it logical that Hillary Clinton is hosting a child sex ring in a pizzeria? Like, you know, we need to learn how yeah. to critical think. And mm-hmm. I think people don't do that now.
Mm-hmm. I also think learning the history, too, and that's where history yep. comes in, is also extremely important. Like, how did we get into this position? And it's not an easy route to kind of figure out, but yeah. it also almost is an easy route to kind of see. Like, I mean, I don't know.
No, yeah. I totally get what you mean. My dad always told, he's a history major.
Nice.
And he always told me, like, we put so much influence on STEM right now, like science, technology, mm-hmm. engineering, math. We put so much influence on that. But if we don't study history, we don't see where history is, like, we repeat itself.
Mm-hmm.
It just does. We repeat itself in history. And I feel like people neglect history. And then all of a sudden we're making the same stupid mistakes we did 100 years ago when we were, quote unquote, less civilized. Mm-hmm. It's like you're literally making the same mistakes.
Mm-hmm. And so, you were talking about that, too, with your mom protesting yeah. for the exact same thing that you're protesting for now.
Yep.
Yeah. How do you think, like, your education at West has kind of influenced the path that you want to go down?
I think it's only made it stronger, to mm-hmm. be perfectly honest. I didn't realize how much, you know, activism called me. I always knew that I was told that I was being too loud and I needed to be quieter when I got passionate about things. And then I got to West and I realized there are other people that actually want to hear what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. Like, I always was told in middle school, like, Grace, you need to keep it down. In middle school, people actually, like, teachers would call me and, like, genuinely want to know what I was thinking.
Mm-hmm.
And I had never experienced that before. And that's something that I'm really, really grateful for, that people actually gave me the chance to speak my voice and have those open conversations and, you know, learn how to stand up for myself and argue correctly and back up my own opinion. And mm-hmm. I wouldn't have done that without going to high school.
Yeah. No, and I also agree with also like teachers in general, too. I think like the system of education isn't as open to this, but specific teachers, I think, have been very available, giving time. I could not imagine being a teacher.
No. And it's funny because the person who made me want to be a middle school health teacher, my middle school health teacher, I have had my life saved by teachers. Like, I don't know what I would have ever done without them. Like, mm-hmm. I still have teachers that I'm in contact with after being retired who I talk to on a regular basis because they're such mm-hmm. an influential part of my life. You know, when you don't see your parents, they are your parents for like 8-9 months out of the year.
Yeah.
Because I go to school and I'm at school for 7-8 hours. Then I go home and I go to work. and I don't really see my parents. So like they are literally my parents. They are my support. And I have so many teachers, and I talked about this last time too. Like, y'all know who you are. You're probably listening to this because I told you to. But I am just so grateful for them and so grateful to have their support. And I think that's something that's really neglected in teachers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, for sure. I don't know. I was talking to some teachers like earlier this week too, because I was writing an article about like interdisciplinary education. Mm-hmm. But I'm wondering, like, as a student, how do you see like interdisciplinary education being a part of like your school experience, but also like how do you think we can like add that to school?
I feel like I can't really speak on this because I was never, you know, I'm a majority, you know, I benefit from the system of, you know, disciplinary action. So I feel like I really can't speak on it as much. I also don't know a lot about it. I was always a well-behaved kid growing up. I usually didn't have problems. And, you know, because I'm white, generally I won't face any consequences for my actions. Mm-hmm. And I've noticed that this year, especially.
Yeah. I think, like, interdisciplinary education, too, just, like, seeing how the departments work or don't work together is really interesting. I guess in these interviews, too, I noticed that departments work really strongly together.
Yeah.
But within those departments, they don't, the departments don't work together with each other as much as they used to. And it sounds like there actually is a history of them working closely together, which I think is interesting because I don't see that, I guess.
Yeah. I think within those, you know, pods or groups of people, I think, you know, there needs to also be different types of people and we need to interact. We need to listen to other people. Mm-hmm. And we're not going to make any progress or strides in, you know, just being a disciplinarian. Mm-hmm. I guess that's a bad word, but you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like disciplinary action if we don't talk to each other first.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. How do you think COVID has, like, permanently changed our school? Not to sound like Mr. Safi is, like,
a little bit, yeah.
I know, I was just like, but
no,
yeah.
No, I totally get it. I think I could go on forever. I feel like, you know, the freshmen this year, the last time that they were in school, they were sixth graders. So we have sixth graders as ninth graders. Mm-hmm. It's just, it's so weird to me because I feel like everyone kind of, I noticed this with my younger kids, where I guess this isn't about like my school, our school in particular, but like my younger kids, they have zero social skills. Mm-hmm. And so I literally have to make themselves talk to each other.
Yeah.
And I've noticed that growing up now, we're just so used to staring at a screen and turning things on and off that we don't know how to have an actual conversation. And I think that's something that's huge that has really impacted our school.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And I see that too, like social interactions and just the way that we're coming back and everything. And even just like with this show as well.
Yeah.
Like not being interacting with people for such a long time has really impacted us.
Yep.
But thank you so much for being a guest today.
Yes, thank you so much for having me. I always love being here.
And I'm sure we have another 13 weeks, so I'm sure you're going to be back at some
point. Oh, yeah, I'll see you again, hopefully.
Yeah, for sure. Awesome. Thank you so much. And that is The Sauce.